to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We'll read a few verses here. I'm glad, thank God, wherever we are, He's in the midst. He said, where two or three are gathered together, that's where He'd be, in the midst. And when we're in trouble, He's there. When we're in joy, He's there. And when we have a problem, thank God He's there. And when we have a need, He's there. And it's all because of who He is and what He's done for us as a believer. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 9. Says, God is faithful. Well, you can stop right there. Spend the rest of the day right on those three words. God is faithful. And let's go on. It says, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad this morning that we have a fellowship of believers, that we have something in common that we can depend upon, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not many things in this old world today that are very stable. Things that used to show stability now are very tottering. And things that used to be firm with the foundation, it seems as though the foundation is crumbling. Our nation that used to be strong in this world is not as strong as we think it is. And things are beginning to falter, and problems are on the horizon everywhere. But I'm glad God is faithful. I'm glad that we have a fellowship that the Scripture talks about that we have been called unto, and it's the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we can sort of sit around the table and we can rejoice in the fellowship of Christ. We can rejoice in what He has done for us, how He has blessed us, how He has freely given to us those many, many things that we have become accustomed to. Unto that sometimes we do not even realize that they are there as a blessing until they're gone. And there's things that we have every day of our life that are so prevalent that sometimes we forget that God is the reason we have that. But He's faithful to us, and we have been called into the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we can serve Him together. And the reason that we have that fellowship is because of the cross of the Lord Jesus. Now, I was going to read all these verses here, but I want us just to skip over to verse number 18. Paul is dealing with a problem in the church of Corinth. He says, I hear that there's divisions among you, and he says that ought not to be. And truly, if we're in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, there ought not to be any divisions among us because we have everything in common in Christ. And he says, I hear that some of you say that you're after Paul, and some of you say you're following Apollos, and he says, who's Paul and who's Apollos? But it is Christ that has given the increase, and so therefore we have a common bond, and that is in the Lord. And he comes to verse 18 and says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we find that there is there's a purpose in our life as a believer that God has put in front of us, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, preaching is that which God has chosen. He chooses us to present the Lord Jesus Christ to a world by proclaiming the gospel. And so we want to think this morning upon the preaching of the cross. Remember now, the world says it's foolish. The world says it's silly. The world says we don't want you. As we heard just a moment ago about this situation there in Ukraine. They don't want that church. They don't want that preacher. They don't want that gospel. But God says it's by the foolishness of preaching that He has chosen to save those that are lost. And so this morning I got saved because somebody preached to me. I got saved because somebody dealt with me in the Scripture and told me what was right and told me what was godly and according to the Scripture, that if I wanted to go to heaven there was only one way, and that was through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's not four or five ways. There's not four or five different avenues. There's only one way, and that way is none other than Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me or through me. And so we find the preaching of the cross has been prophesied in the Old Testament and has been realized in the New Testament in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 22, Paul goes on here to these folks. He says, the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Thank God this morning, those of us that have been called by His grace, it's not foolishness, it's not out of the ordinary, it's something that is common in our life to hear about and enjoy the things of hearing the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, we see the prophecies and the preparation for the cross. You can go through, and if we had time this morning, we'd go back and look at all those illustrations that God has given us in the books of Genesis and Exodus and all through the Old Testament, how that it points to one day there'd be a sacrifice upon a tree. Cursed is every man that hangs upon the tree, the Scripture says, and one day Jesus was hung there that we might have life. And so those things of the cross were prophesied in the Old Testament. But when we come to the Gospels, we see the performance of the cross. We see that one that was living and lived a perfect life and died there upon the cross of Calvary. So we see the performance. In the book of Acts, we see the preeminence of the cross. He is preeminent in the book of Acts. On Wednesday night, we are studying through that book of Acts in the New Testament, and we see that it is the preaching, it is the teaching of the gospel that brings people to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, you see that the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto repentance, that we have faith and life and have eternity through the Lord. But here in 1 Corinthians, we see the preaching of the cross. Paul says it's foolishness to the world. Paul says the world says it's nothing. But to those of us that are born again, he tells us it is the power of God unto salvation. To those of us that are saved, we understand that it has given to us. He says in verse number 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It's an amazing thing how God can take simple things and confuse the wisdom of the world. Just the simple message that Jesus died and rose again the third day confuses the world. Just the simple message of preaching the cross. I want us to look this morning just for a few moments what this preaching does, and as we look at society and as we look at the Lord, as we look at those around us, what the preaching of the cross does. The preaching of the cross, first of all, I just put down that it salutes the Savior. You know, when you see a soldier salute someone, that means he's making recognition that he's that one he is saluting is higher authority than he, and that he is he's paying homage to him. And you and I this morning, when we talk about, when we preach, when we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, we are remembering what Christ did for us. And we're saluting Him and saying thanks be unto God for His marvelous blessing and His marvelous grace whereby we can have life and have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize Him as our Lord. We recognize Him as our Savior. We recognize Him as the Commander-in-Chief of our life, that we serve Him because one day He died upon that cross of Calvary. Thanks be unto the Lord. We salute that He has given to us an ability that we can turn to Him and repent of our sin and to rejoice and one day I'm going to heaven. Now, this whole world may blow up tomorrow. It may cast its stones at us today. But I'll tell you what, it'll never keep me from going to heaven. And it'll never stop you from going to glory if you know the Lord. If you've had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of the cross, it's a salute of rejoicing that we're saved. I'm happy this morning. You ask me why I'm happy. It's because of my sins have been forgiven. I thank God He forgives my sin and He casts them in the sea of His forgetfulness, and I can go on and serve Him. And so the preaching of the cross does this as we recognize who Jesus Christ is that day and what He did that day upon Calvary. Not only does it salute the Savior, but the preaching of the cross separates us from society. I'm not a part of this world. I'm living here. I have my abode here. I have my address here. I have my phone number here, but I'm not a part of the world. I'm of the world that is yet to come. And it's not the world tomorrow of Herbert W. Armstrong. It's the world of tomorrow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that we have something to rejoice. It has separated us from this world. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with our bodies. Why? We no longer belong to ourselves. We don't do what? We have a commander. We have a chief. We have a Savior. And so the preaching of the cross will separate us from society. You don't believe that? You start preaching out on the streets and start telling people around the corner about the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll separate you from society. They'll look at you like you're an idiot. They'll look at you like you're foolish. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that believe not. You see, foolishness to the unbeliever is faith to the believer. That preaching, the cross. Now, when I say preaching the cross, I'm not talking about we're preaching about a wooden piece of wood that's stuck in the ground. I'm talking about the one that died on the cross. The preaching of that cross. The preaching of our Savior. And we find that that will separate us because the unbeliever says, I don't believe that. I don't want that. That's foolish. We've matured to the point that we don't have to have that kind of stuff. We've devolved to the point that we think we don't need God. And so foolishness to the world. But you and us, you and I that we believe, we that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, thank the Lord it is our salvation. It separates us because it draws the believer, but it drives the unbeliever away. Have you ever wondered why it is? You can sit in a service, and some people will respond, and some people will kick against it. Well, it comes down to our faith. It comes down to what we accept or what we believe. The faith in of the cross and the preaching of the cross will draw the believer. I love to hear people preach messages on the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross that He bore and where He suffered, bled, and died for my sins. I love to hear that because that's where I bring my life to. That's where my eternity began one day with Him for the Lord. And it draws us, but to the unbeliever, it will drive him farther and farther and farther away because he's still in his sin and it's foolishness unto him. Paul said here in 1 Corinthians where we read, to the Greek to the Jew it was a stumbling block. They stumbled over it. They had all the Old Testament prophets. They had all these books of Jeremiah, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, all those Old Testament books. Every one of those books pointed to one day there would be a Savior. Every one of those pointed that one day there would be a Messiah. And they stumbled over Him. And for the most part, that nation has stumbled headfirst into hell because of their rejection of that Savior. But to a believer, it's not a stumbling block, it's a stepping stone. We can build our life upon. We can build upon that foundation, the foundation that no man can lay other than Christ. And we build our life upon that. And so that preaching brings us to a point and a stepping stone in our life. To the unbeliever, it shows darkness. To the believer, it is light. To the unbeliever, it's a waste of time. For the believer, it's a way of life. For the unbeliever, it is vile and ungodly and don't want it and unconcerned. To the believer, it is victory that we have in Jesus Christ. So the preaching of the cross will separate us from society. Society, that's where we live. That's our communities. That's our neighbors, our friends. It's even our loved ones, our society. Our society today is, as a whole, is very wicked. Set itself against God, so we don't need God anymore. I think it's a shame. I think it's a disgrace that in just a few days. They're going to be commemorating 9/11, and they don't want anybody that's religious to say anything. You know why? Because we are a secular nation. Look up the word secular. That means without God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And the Bible says they became vain in their imaginations. And they took and made the four-footed beast. And they changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed the cause of God. They changed all those things. And we have literally turned our back on God. And that crowd, they don't want anything that even resembles. Now, I probably wouldn't agree with those that would be there praying. They'd probably open their little paper and read it off. I wouldn't agree with some of the things that they do. But it's a sorry day in America that a government says we don't want anything that resembles religion. You know what's wrong? The cross has separated us. They don't want the Ten Commandments because it tells them what they're doing is wrong. Most of those reprobates up there, they could care less about what goes on because they don't care about God. They got freezer full of bribe money. You've heard the news. You know the same thing I know. And old Barney Frank, about the biggest reprobate in this country, keeps getting voted in all the time. Ooh, I better get off that. I'll change my whole rest of my message. I'm afraid it won't be his message, it'll be mine. But isn't it terrible we have Jezebels? Pelosi. I mean, they have authority. They have all this going for them. But I'll tell you what, the cross of Calvary has separated me from them and them from us. Because we believe this blessed old book. The preaching of the cross separates us from society. Oh, but the preaching of the cross will stabilize us as children of God. But I know what I believe and know why I believe it. Why? Because somebody preached the Word of God to me. Because I had a preacher that stood and proclaimed the gospel when I was a kid. Didn't have to be that way, but thank God it was. Had a preacher that cared for people and loved God. And if he was wrong, he told you. The preaching of the cross will stabilize us. You know what a stabilizer is? Keeps you from bouncing around. Stabilizer on a car or a truck keeps it from going all over the road. Stabilizes you. Well, the gospel will do that. The preaching of the cross will stabilize us. The preaching is our speech. It's the power of God. That's the stabilization. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 through 5. Next chapter over. And I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech or of the wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul had a problem with this thing being crucified. Paul never could get away from that message. He said, I was determined that I was going to come to you not in the excellency of speech, not in the excellency of words. And Paul could have done that. He was educated enough. But he said, I came determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4, and my speech and my preaching. Paul was a preacher. Paul says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but of the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'll tell you what the reason that we as preachers need to preach is because we want people to not stand in the wisdom of men's worlds, the world of man's wisdom, but to stand in the wisdom of God. That's how we learn. That's how we understand. Paul says in verse 1, he said, I came unto you. This is his declaration. He said, I came unto you not with excellent speech, nor of wisdom of the world, but I wanted to come with the testimony of God. He was determined there in verse number 2. He says, for I determined. I believe we must have determination. It doesn't just happen sometimes. It doesn't just work sometimes. Sometimes we just got to make it happen. Got to make it work. And Paul says, I was determined to tell you the truth. He said, I did it with the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Brother, I'll tell you, that's what all that matters. Verse 4. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And this is why. This is his desire. That your faith to not stand in the wisdom of men. Well, the wisdom of men is not too firm. He said, I did all this that your faith not be in man's wisdom, but that your faith be built in the wisdom and on the wisdom of God. That's stabilization. That's making us firm, steadfast, knowing what we believe, why we believe it, because this old book says it. The biggest percentage of Baptist people today don't know why they're Baptist. Well, my daddy was. My mama's buried over in Baptist Cemetery. And that's about all they got. I believe we need to know what we are because of this book. Now, if I can find something closer to it, I'll try to get there. But we believe the Word of God. We believe the Scriptures. We believe them just like they were and are and shall be. For the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. The preaching of the cross salutes our Savior. It separates us from society. It stabilizes the saints. Thank God it saves the sinner. I'm here this morning because, as I said a moment ago, somebody preached to me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse number 1, he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, and ye have received, and wherein you stand, which also ye are saved. That's a pretty good foundation there. Paul said, I preached the gospel, you received the gospel, now you stand in the gospel. That's by the preaching of the cross. Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach. If any man comes preaching to you any other gospel, another Jesus, don't receive him, Paul says. Let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. There's not but one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. There's not but one gospel, that's the Lord's. There's not but one heaven. And that's the one God tells us about in His Word. The preaching of the gospel. And these verses, there in 1 Corinthians 15:4. There's a little mini sermon. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's the plan of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. It's the principle of the gospel. All these found right there in that. That's the gospel message. The preaching of the cross will save sinners. If I was to ask you this morning, how many of you got saved because of the preaching? Every hand better go up. If you're saved, that's why you're saved. Oh, I know God uses circumstances, and I know God uses people, and I know God uses Sunday school teachers, and God uses friends, God uses aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, but it's still the preaching of the gospel. It doesn't matter if it's a preacher or grandma, grandpa, mamma, whatever it is, it doesn't matter who tells you about the Lord, it's still the same gospel, and it'll do the same thing. It'll save the old wicked sinner. We're too interested in making sure that I'm in my tradition. It's good we get out of our tradition sometime and just say, this is what God wants. the preaching of the cross will save the sinner. If it happened to me like that, if it happened to you like that, guess what? It still happens that way. It still saves. Whether it's in America, whether it's in New Zealand, Australia, Ukraine, the preaching of the cross will do the same. Oh, it may be articulated with a different language, but it's still the same message. It's still the same gospel. And Paul said it will save sinners. I'm glad I'm saved. And lastly this morning, the preaching of the cross satisfies the saints. I'm satisfied with my Lord. There's never been one time that I was not satisfied with Him. Now, there's been some times I wondered why He didn't do what I wanted Him to do. But it wasn't that I wasn't satisfied. I just wondered. The preaching of the cross will satisfy us. Because of the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord, we have redemption. We have regeneration. One day we'll have rapture or resurrection because of the preaching. And one day we'll have reunion and rest with Him because somebody preached the gospel. Amen. Foolishness to the world. Oh, but the power of God. Unto salvation to the Jew first. Oh, but thank God also to the Greek. To the wise and the unwise. To the barbarian and the civilized. God says it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter where we are, the gospel will put us all on the same plane. It doesn't matter how many dollars we have in the bank account. It doesn't even matter if we have a bank account. When a person comes to know Christ, we're all bankrupt before God. When we realize that we're lost, we have nothing. I have a problem with folks that say, well, I did this and I did that and I did something else and God, no, it wasn't anything I did. God offered me one day His Son, and He granted unto me repentance. I can't get away from that little term, granted unto me. Thank God He gave me salvation. It's a free gift. I can have a gift all I want, but as long as it's in my hand, it's not a gift. Not to you. If I have a $100 bill in my hand, and I say, you can have it, it becomes yours when you reach out and take it. I'm glad, thank God, He said, here I am. All that come to me in no wise cast out. He'll take the old broken soul, take a broken life. Oh, and by the way, it doesn't matter to God what we have done. It doesn't matter where He found us. Before we think too highly of ourselves, He found all of us in the pit of sin. He found us ungodly. He found us without hope. He found us without God. He found us without hope, anything. Oh, but He reached way down to where I was. And He set my feet upon a solid rock. And as I preached the other day, He set on a solid rock, established my going, put a song in my heart, and a new song, even praise to our God. So the preaching of the cross is important. Now we have, and I'm going to quit with this, because this will get on another subject real quick. But we have quote-unquote churches. They've taken down every symbol of religion. They've taken out any resemblance of gospel music. They have entertainment. They have their shows. They have their dinner clubs. They have all those things that's supposed to appeal to the world. And they have everything that the world has and thinks that's going to get the job done. But when they get them in there, they don't do anything. Make them feel good. Just feel good. Something needs to make you feel good because the gospel makes you feel bad. If you're lost, the gospel will make you feel terrible. If you're lost, it'll make you undone. It'll make you know that's wrong. That you're headed to hell. The they've set up their stages and their platforms and they've got all the junk in there and call it church. My friend, that's not the preaching that Paul talks about. If the Lord was to walk into some of those churches, He'd take the whip again and He'd run the money changers out, because that's about all it's come to anymore. We need to reestablish old-time biblical service to God. As long as I live, Lord being my helper, I'm not moving that direction. Because that direction is nowhere to be found in the Scripture. You have all the big guys you want to have, but they don't preach the gospel. They may have the Colosseums full, and they may smile from ear to ear, and they may make you feel good, but sometimes just identify what they preach. You're not going to find the gospel. Oh, you might have 40 days of purpose, but you're not going to have life eternal, because they don't present it to you. This blessed old book is what gets the job done. Preaching the cross. Let's stand against them.